Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 16th of August, recording at 10:02 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, apologies for the late broadcast, but I was halfway through the audio about over half an hour ago, and I had a problem. I could see that a problem developed with the cable connection. I lost it, and I had to reboot and sort it out and start again. So that's what happens sometimes with live broadcasts, but hopefully I'll get through this one. Now, highlights here today. In Asian stock markets, we had a few more down than up, including China, which is back on its lows that it saw earlier in the month. But Japan had one of the better performances, up 1.88%, and helped by the weaker yen. And Australia, also up 49 points on the ASX 200. That's up over 1%. Europe, this is very exciting here because we had another eyebrow-raising 4% plus gain on the Spanish IBEX index. And this occurred after a little bit of sort of to-ing and fro-ing in and out of the plus and minus columns earlier in the day. And Italy was also up about 1.87%. Euro stocks 50 overall, up over 1%. So good solid gains throughout. Now, in the Americas, Brazil up 2.16%. Canada up over 1%. The NASDAQ up over 1%. The S&P up 0.71%. So this is a good day. And elsewhere, long-dated government bond prices. Now, I'm just looking currently at the U.S. Treasuries and also gilts, but they reversed some early gains and closed with losses. So that long bond is down to 145/18. The U.S. dollar is a little bit easier in here today, but mostly a fairly quiet day for the currency. Just looking for the euro in here. Euro's up 65 ticks, up to 123.55. Now, one of the more impressive developments of the day occurred in precious metals, particularly with platinum, which is up nearly $46 as I speak. That's still a little bit of after-hours trading going on. That's taken it up to 1442, and that's quite a big upward dynamic. Palladium was up nearly $6, silver up 34 as I speak, gold up $12. That's taken it up to 1615. And elsewhere, we've got grains and beans. Soybeans gave up a little bit of the their early gain, closed with a small loss, but corn and particularly wheat were higher. I'm jumping around now. I go back to industrials. Metals, industrial metals were mostly up, with the exception of tin. And crude oil, that Brent, which has been a concern of mine, that pushed up to 1540 at one stage, but then settled a dollar lower. The WTI, though, is up to 95.23. That's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, you know all about this rally that we've had that started in early June when so many of the world's commentators seemed to be absolutely terrified. And it was a ranging rally that persisted through July and into August, and people were terrified about the dreaded three-peat, to use the vulgarism, and because they remember the big declines in August from 2011 and 2010, although not 2009. Well, lo and behold, here we are, halfway through August, and stock markets are still rising. And after about 7, 8 days of really quite tight ranging with a slight upward bias on Wall Street, we saw these bigger moves to the upside today. And technically, that's really quite interesting because markets were just ranging in a little narrow consolidation just near their highs of earlier in the year. And the indices have pushed up today. And what that means is that I've been talking about these rising lows. Well, and that don't worry too much as long as they, or don't worry at all, as long as they are intact. And once we lose a rising low, then we'll say, well, okay, that's a little bit different technically. Now, are we going to get a reaction or a correction or something bigger? Well, I can raise the levels to watch. Remember when at the beginning of the rally on Wall Street, and I was talking about 1266 on the S&P. Well, the S&P is over one f is over 14. See, it's 1415. That's it. And so from 1415, it would have to go back below 1390. Just to move under the last little consolidation that we've seen, 1390, the Dow would have to move under the Nasdaq rather would have to move under 2,700. That's the Nasdaq 100, and the Dow would have to move under 13,080 to just, as I say, close underneath those last little consolidations that we've seen as we test the highs, but a number of other stock markets around the globe have been pushing up through the year's earlier highs, and none have been falling back from them with downward dynamics, which would suggest that they were indeed encountering a fair amount of resistance. The opposite has happened. The markets have rallied up to levels where you'd expect a little hesitation and uncertainty, but they've been just gently probing, prodding, and are moving higher still. Now, why might that be the case? And I'll give you one very good reason, because Europe, the Eurozone, really the focal point of the world's anxieties for, well over a year, hasn't it been? And over the last less than 4 weeks, we've seen a stomping good rally here, albeit from very low levels. But the European markets have been the relative strength leaders during that period, and with Spain and Italy very much to the fore. Now, while that's going on, we're not going to get a meltdown, that's for sure. Now, let's take it one day at a time here, but we've broken up out of little ranges once again for those markets, and they remain very steady because it does seem that people are, well, they're no longer using the crisis word quite so often, and they're saying, well, really, the ECB has found a way to buy a little time. People are talking a little bit more. Maybe they're going to weather this for a while longer, in which case people look elsewhere and they say, what else is going on? Still got to worry with China here, and I'll feel better when that market finally breaks its medium-term downtrend, but needless to say, it hasn't done that yet, remaining a serial underperformer. But Wall Street, which is the most important of all by far in terms of overall influence, is right up there challenging the year's earlier highs and remains very steady, as I've just discussed. And these long-dated government bonds, the bond prices, this is really interesting because I illustrated them yesterday, and it's worth keeping a close eye on these, and also looking at the weekly charts, which I did not show yesterday. I showed the daily charts. But we've seen quite a reaction, and not before time, because we had that big persistent rally from March lows carrying right on well into last month. But now we have these staircase step sequence reactions, which have carried all the way back down to the upper side of the last trading range and have also come back to the 200-day moving averages in most instances. So we have those potential support levels, and sentiment will definitely be affected by what happens next. Now, it would not be at all surprising if we saw a little bit of a pause, steadying action here, but we would really require some quite clear upward dynamics to confirm that support was indeed being encountered from those levels. Conversely, and I think this may be the greater possibility, the pause, just range here a little bit, no dynamics, and then start to move lower and break beneath those MAs and start to move down into those earlier trading ranges. And that would provide additional evidence that we have indeed seen not only a near-term peak in bond prices, but maybe at least a medium-term peak, as in several months to a year or two, for these bond prices. And the flip side of that, of course, would mean that we had put in lows, potentially sustainable lows, for the yields. Very interesting. Now, if that's the case, we will hear less depression talk. We may well start to hear a little bit more stagflation talk, and we may also hear, as the rest of the year progresses, a little bit more talk about some recovery. Well, that makes a change, or would make a change, wouldn't it? And I don't want to get too far ahead. We'll take it a day at a time, as always in here. Now, the most exciting thing that I've seen in here today is that surge in platinum. And you might recall that article that I posted last Thursday, which mentioned that a few hedge fund managers who were going around and talking about their short position in platinum is a great way to play the Euro bear story. Well, that's backfiring, because first the Euro bear story is getting a nice rally here at the moment. And also platinum, as Owen has commented on again, has posted a short article, is subject to some halts in production due to a bit of a territorial political battle between a couple of mining unions. And platinum is always vulnerable to any unrest or power outages that we see in South Africa, because over 70% of the world's platinum it comes from South Africa. And when I say is vulnerable to it, what I mean is that the price will shoot higher on concerns over shortages, and platinum is quite thin market. So this big upper dynamic and gold pushing, well, gold is still in its range, but it still shows those rising lows. Silver still shows those rising lows. Gold's done it over a couple of months now, at least, and silver about half that. And now platinum with an important upward dynamic, so not breaking down beneath that 1380 level. These are still within ranges, but it is in line with my hypothesis that this is a support building phase, although unproven, and it cannot be proven until we have those short-term upward trends that I've talked about. But with shorts in the market and a lot of people who've been quite uncertain and on the sidelines, I'm in these markets, this is a potentially interesting situation, because the seasonal factors are also favorable here. The veteran subscribers among you who've been watching gold and participating in this all along in this secular bull market will know that you get into August and prices start to firm, And then you get some real strength more often than not coming in September. And so my feeling is that yes, we have seen this big medium term, while we have seen this big medium term correction in precious metals following their accelerated advances that we saw around this time last year. Certainly it was a year ago for gold. Now we have completed, the evidence is suggesting increasingly that we've completed that distribution stage when people are getting out, and we're back into an accumulation phase. For confirmation of that, you only get confirmation with hindsight. The market has to go up enough so that everybody can see that clearly it's under accumulation. But I think the odds of that happening during the rest of this year and well into 2013, quite probably taking gold to new numerical highs in 2013, I think those odds are quite reasonable. So, what else to mention? Crude. Here's something that stock markets are ignoring for the time being, but there'll be a reality check here if this Brent doesn't come off these highs. Now, I don't think this is caused, as I've said in these broadcasts, I don't think it's caused by actual demand for crude, but it hasn't turned until it's turned, to coin a phrase. That's not too illuminating, is it? But the point I'm trying to make is that crude is still very firm because hedge funds and others have been putting on these long bets because they see that as defense against the possibility of an Israeli attack on the Iranian nuclear installations. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I've talked about that enough in last night's audio, but it's certainly a real risk, and a lot of people do think it's going to happen, more importantly, and that's what's pushed the price up quite high. If we get a cessation in those rumors and stories, and it's not just rumors and stories, when they start handing out gas masks and so on, it carries a little more weight. But if that oil price doesn't fall back, it will unnerve these stock markets in the reasonably near-term future. Conversely, if we get that falling back, and then I think we'll probably see more of these stock markets breaking through to new highs. But that's my biggest concern, not what's happening in Euroland here right now, or not what's happening in China. My biggest concern is that crude oil price. So they're interesting, isn't it? And these are supposed to be the dog days of summer, or is it the dog days of August? Whatever. All the best to all of you.